I want to go back 1 minute to the Irwin Kostel version of Fantasia. That was done to a 3M digital system, correct?
Yes.
And because I think I was there at the time that was done. Actually, I think I was there.
Oh.
And did you guys own one of those 3M machines, or like have you reissued that?
Yeah, it's been reissued. It wasn't, you know, the digital re-recording when Fantasia was re-released wasn't a successful version.
I know.
Of the soundtrack. And when it was re-released in 1990, they went back to the original Stokowski Fantasound recording.
That was it, because that was the one. That was the one.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. All right, so let's move ahead a little bit. So you're releasing CDs. And you kind of moved up the ladder there at Disney Music. Is that the division that we're talking about?
Well, it was still Disneyland Vista Records. Well, I started in '87, and by 1990, I was producing albums. I produced the Jungle Book soundtrack and did a couple of the read-alongs. Right. By that time, they had changed the name to Walt Disney Records.
To what?
Walt Disney Records.
Okay, Walt Disney Records, which makes sense to me.
Yeah.
All right, so you moved right up the chain there, and then, so when did they get back into vinyl, big time?
Oh gosh, I'm thinking it was only about 3 or 4 years ago, you know, and each year it's progressed even more. And the trouble is, you know, the same thing, you know, that happened with the cassettes, you know, it was started off as a novelty. You know, particularly with picture discs.
Yep.
And then, people's appreciation of vinyl started increasing, you know, then we started doing more things and always looking to release it on vinyl as well. And some of the stuff, you know, picture discs have problems just by the nature of what they're pressed on.
Oh, yeah, how they're made,
so
I
the
know.
Pictures, yeah, it's... you know, and... But, you know, we've done a lot of, gosh, I can't remember, maybe four or six years ago, we did the Silly Symphonies box set on vinyl, and that's when we started doing, you know, the 180-gram vinyl pressings.
And who masters those things?
That we mastered, and then sent them to a company called Erica.
Oh, I know Erica, sure. Yeah, I know them.
And, you know, again, this was still in the early stages of vinyl ramping back up again. And so there was less quality control. A lot of people don't really understand, the limitations of vinyl and the benefits of it and how the quality control works. And, you know, you have to be careful. People have just been, when you do a CD, you send the master in, and you don't have to have the quality control stuff in there because it's digital files. It's ones and zeros.
Yep.
You know, the only problem you really have is if the manufacturing plant uses the wrong master.
So when did vinyl, how big is the vinyl segment of Walt Disney Records at this point?
It's outpacing CDs, but, you know, it's difficult. Our marketplace, you know, again, without record stores, you know, we have to rely on the big retailers and Target and those kinds of places and trying to get stuff into there. We've done special record store day products and stuff like that.
How do they do?
Well, they do okay. I don't think, you know, anybody had really started paying attention. You know, they look at things as vinyl as just another opportunity to release things,
right.
You know. So it's really kind of difficult. It's a big market, but, you know, a lot of things are going streaming, you know, and
well, that's going to kill the CD market, obviously, at some point.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
The souvenir is going to be a picture disc, something you can hang on the wall, something tangible. And then for the people that want the vinyl on black vinyl to, you know, to play a, good, a good... So you've done... what was the last thing that you did, what you would call an audiophile kind of release? Was it Star Wars?
Yeah, I didn't work on that, but, you know...
Well, that's okay. Yeah. You can talk about it anyway.
Yeah. The Star Wars stuff, one of the things that... there's a very high quality control on vinyl. Special vinyl masters are made. Mastered by Pat Sullivan and Bernie Grundman.
Uh-huh, sure, yep.
And then they're sent out to whatever plant is available to work on it. There's a company, and honestly, I don't know all the companies that we work with, but there's a pressing plant in the Czech Republic.
GZ Media. GZ Media.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
I've been there.
That's it. I really like the work that they do there.
They can do very good work, yep.
And then those test pressings go to Pat Sullivan, and then to Leslie Ann Jones up at Skywalker Ranch at Skywalker
yes,
Sound.
Yes, I know her.
And Sean Murphy.
I've known Sean for decades. He's a great engineer. He's done.
And he's a great guy. He's a really great guy.
Yes.
I first met him when we did the first Mary Poppins CD back in '89.
Yep.
So there's a quality control there that to make sure that it's absolutely right.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's the guy that, between the two of them, you got the two of the best people to do that QC. That's for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, whenever we're working on something like that, you know, see like stuff that Bruce Botnick would master for us, it goes to him.
Yep. Another top notch name.
Yeah.
So how many? When did that come out? When did the Star Wars LP set come out?
The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, and The Rise of Skywalker, they all came out with the movies.
Right.
I restored the original A New Hope soundtrack from the original album master. We didn't go back and rebuild it.
Right.
It was a 24-192 transfer that Skywalker Sound had done for us. Then I went in and we denoised it and took a little things out. And, you know, as you and I discussed before,
yeah.
I mean, there is an aesthetic feel to things recorded on tape.
Yep.
And the hiss is part of it.
Yeah.
You know, it was just to make sure that the levels were right. There was a gentleman by the name of Chris Malone who did this incredible thesis on the recording of Star Wars, the entire saga, what microphones were used, who the engineers were, and all that stuff. And so I asked him to go through the masters that he's heard in the past and, you know, point out artifacts and, you know, whatever problems there were. And some of them were, you know, a little phase shifting between the channels by a couple of frames. And,
yep.
Things like that, and he had gone through and given us an entire list. So we used that as a marker to start as we were going through the things. I'm also incredibly familiar with that soundtrack as well, and the way it was laid out and everything. I mean, that's one of those soundtracks that changed my life as well.
Yeah.
You know? And some of the things that Chris had pointed out were some tape speed issues. They were minor, but they had been in the original master ever since the beginning. And I opted not to try and correct that. Mainly because I'm preserving what was originally done. This was the 40th anniversary of this soundtrack as well. And it's one of those things that even if you are not an audiophile, it would sound different. And for the untrained ear, they wouldn't know why it sounded different. And it was just a little too obvious of an alteration that I didn't think that I was the person to do that. I didn't think it would have... I would have recommended anybody not do that.
Right.
But when we're talking about reconstructing a whole new version of the soundtrack, that's a completely different story. But I'm preserving what was originally done. So... Yeah, that's where I
kind of
draw the line on those kinds of things.
Yeah, good idea. So, when did that come out?
That one came out, oh my gosh, the 40th. I think it was 2018.
And how long does a title like that sell? Was it box set?
Yeah, we did it in a box, 180-gram vinyl. I had talked to Lucas Kendall, who runs Film Score Monthly, because he had written liner notes for other Star Wars products and stuff like that. And he had recommended that I talk to Jeff Bond, who does a lot of liner notes. And I thought it was a good idea, because Jeff Bond knows the pop culture history. He's a great, and he knows a lot about the composers and the recording process and what it took to record Ultimate Scores. But I wanted him to focus on the pop reaction, you know, the pop culture reaction to Star Wars. And the other Jeff wrote about John Williams himself. So that's one of the things that has never, you know, John talks about some of his stuff, but he never really goes into history, and none of the Star Wars elements soundtracks had been released in the past, had much about John Williams' history. So that Jeff went through and did all that.
To his days as a jazz arranger, does it go back that far?
Oh, yeah. Jeff Eldridge. And a little bit about his dad being the percussionist for Raymond Scott, you know, and how, you know, music's always been a part of Williams' entire life.
Right.
You know. So it was a 2-LP set like it was originally. We created a third disc because...
We want to talk about the time that I dated his daughter and she didn't like me. We want to talk about that.
It's a true story.
Didn't hit it off. Anyway, okay, so
we created a third disc because we had come across this guy that was able to etch holograms onto the inner side of the album. And originally it was going to be Princess Leia's theme, and it was going to be a hologram of Princess Leia, which would make perfect sense for A New Hope.
Yep.
Unfortunately, that was the time that Carrie Fisher had passed away.
Yeah.
And everybody thought it would be in bad taste. So what we did instead was create a hologram of the Death Star with the final battle.
Right.
And I didn't want that to take up any space on the actual soundtrack itself to crush the groove or anything. If we were going to include a hologram, it had to be on a separate disc.
Yep. So, how well did that sell, that box? Did it meet your expectations?
I was hoping better, but, you know the people that bought it are the ones that would really appreciate it anyway. You know, but there's been so much Star Wars stuff out there. Sony had the license before we bought Lucasfilm, and they hadn't released a lot of the original stuff for about the 15 years that they had the license.
Right.
But decided to release them all just before their license was to expire.
Now, do you have the licenses to all the Pixar stuff, the Randy Newman soundtracks?
Oh yeah. It's all us.
And those should be very popular, and those should do well on vinyl. I think I've got some of those from when they originally came out.
Well, you know, we're looking at that. One of the reasons that kind of kept us from doing way too much is that, you know, in California, there's only so many plants.